What's going on, AI family? It's your co-host here, Dante, with your other co-host, Cal, here at Athletic Intelligence. Today is May 31st, 2023, and we got some baseball coming up this week. I'm looking forward to the game. Appreciate you, Cal. Complimentary to you. Let them know where we're going this Friday, man. Let them know.
We're going to D-backs Braves.
That's going to be a good game.
It is going to be a good game, and we'll get into it in a little bit, but like one team's trending really, really hot right now, and the other one's not really trending so good. So it's going to be a really good matchup, especially because as of right now, they're basically tied. I think they're just like a game or half game apart from each other.
Yeah, half game apart, 33 and 23. So this Friday, we will be at the game together, getting some content, and we're going to try and put up a little parlay together and some other things. Make it fun, you know, so we'll get into that. But yeah, we got some exciting stuff. More obviously some good topics. We got a segment later on, a quick take segment at the end. So based on some head coaching decisions, so we'll definitely give you our takes. But yeah, man, we're already halfway into the year. It's about to be June, so it's kind of crazy. Your birthday's on the way, so June 17th, show Cal some love in these next few weeks. My man's getting old.
Definitely getting old.
I say that, and I'm older, but yeah, it's gonna be very, very good, and we're definitely gonna have a good time. But let's get into it, man. I don't know about you, and we didn't go over this, but I really gotta just, you know, get it out there. It's the biggest topic right now. We're a day before game one, Nuggets Heat. But before we get into just matchups on who we have winning the series and how do we see this going, key factor or X factors of the game in the series, how did you feel about game seven of the Heat Celtics? It was supposedly the most watched and viewed game seven for the Eastern Conference Finals ever. And it obviously didn't end the way I'm sure everyone and myself hoped. But did you get to see the full game? I only got to see the second half. It was Sky's birthday, so we were out. But I got to see most of the second half. What would you make of what you saw and how that series ended with such a roller coaster of a possible comeback?
You see, I would even go back to game six. I don't think we got to talk about game six, right?
No, I don't think we got a chance because it was about a week ago that we recorded last. So we didn't really get to speak on it just yet.
Okay, so let's talk about game six real quick, because this is when I lost all hope in Boston.
Okay. And they won that game.
I was like, they're easily going to win this game. We're going to get a game seven out of this. So I'm going to take their spread, which is a -3. And oh, yeah. They had multiple times down the stretch where they were up at least 10 points, if not somewhere around there. And we still somehow almost lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, yeah, cool. Like, don't get me wrong. Derek White, right?
Right.
Really great highlight play by him. Way to be very heads up. You got it done. But, like, just the rest of the team, I was just like, yep, this is just not it. Go to game seven. I knew immediately to take Miami's spread. Just because I knew that they would cover it. 8 points was way too much to give them in that game seven.
Yeah, way 8 points. I imagine the game was going to be really, really close. The fact that it wasn't close and they won was exactly the turnout that I remember before the game, you were like, should we do the spread? And I said, I did it already. And you're like, all right. So it was already a lock in my mind. I felt very confident about doing the spread. Although my bets prior, the last, what, three, four games, definitely didn't go in my favor because I kept thinking, oh, the Heat will finish them off this game. Oh, they'll finish them off the next game. Of course, they, you know, made it a lot more difficult than it needed to. But I felt really good about that spread. That was way too easy, in my opinion. I have to admit, man, I'm gonna keep this real short and sweet. I was talking to multiple people, especially some Celtics fans, just kind of get their feelings off of how their season ended. And I just asked them, how do you feel about Coach Mazzulla, the new head coach for this season? How do you feel about the players? Do you think, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum can coincide still together, especially they're both going to be due for max contracts, which is going to be $600 million or something. And that's a lot of cap space taken. Where do you want to see this team going? And for me, I got the consensus that essentially they definitely feel like there's some small tweaks that need to be made because, yes, they made it to the finals last year and then they were knocking on the door this year. So they don't have to do some major changes, but they got to make some type of tweak. I don't know if that's maybe like a different point guard. I don't know if that's just maybe a different type of center. Like, I know they have Al Horford, but maybe just a different presence. I don't know. But like, they had to make some type of small tweaks. I'm not in favor of getting rid of or trading Jaylen Brown just because there isn't really much out there right now, I don't think, right at this particular time. So I would definitely just keep him unless he chooses to walk. I just feel like Coach Mazzulla has some questionable decisions with timeouts, no in-game adjustments. Many times, I guess, he called a timeout and wasn't even talking. And it's like, I think he'll grow. I think he'll get better. It's his first playoffs, you know, run. But they're knocking on the door a lot, but not that many finals appearances in the last 10 years. Let's go. So something's had to be had. They got to make some type of tweak. Cap space, I'm sure that'll get figured out. But I would not be surprised if Jaylen Brown ends up getting traded because of the cap space purposes. They're definitely going to keep Jason Tatum. But I know you had stated, and let me know if you change your mind on this, but I know you stated if you had to choose between the two of them, you would keep Jaylen Brown.
I mean, I still stand by that. It's just, Jason's just a more likable face, and that's just what the Celtics need. I mean, he'll just, if you look in a Celtics crowd, how many zero jerseys do you see?
Oh, yeah, it's a sea of them.
You know? So, like, obviously you're going to keep him. Now, to pay Jaylen and keep the both of them, hopefully you guys can turn something around. Like, because if we're honest here, and, like, you brought up, like, the center part, and, like, I laughed because of Al Horford. And it's, like, nothing against him, but, like, I want to say it was game 6. The amount of, like, Klay Thompson-esque, like, shots he was putting up were like ridiculous for who he is.
Right.
Now I know he can shoot, but like Klay can shoot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like you give him a somewhat open jump shot, that thing's wet.
Right.
With Al, dude, it was just brick after brick after brick. I was just like, dude, who is giving him this green light? Like, no way after watching you miss 3 wide open 3-pointers would I ever draw up another play for you to shoot the ball again. And they just let them have it. He took at least 4 or 5.
All I know is if Ime Udoka was out there, he would not have allowed all that. I'll say that much. Yeah, he is. Rockets' new head coach. I'll say this lastly on it, and then we can move on to the Nuggets Heat because, you know, that's the new matchup.
Better teams.
Unless you have something else you want to say on the Celtics, but I personally think they're so frustrating to watch sometimes. There's very few teams that I really enjoy watching, But at the same time, I'm really frustrated with them. Because roster-wise, they have all this talent, and you see the potential when they play really good, and then you know what they're capable of. But then they play so inconsistent, and it's almost like boxing. They get punched in the mouth, and they just start, you know, they're behind, and they're just throwing up desperation shots. And that's what I feel like the Celtics do. They kind of, you get punched in the mouth, and now you don't know what your game plan is. You know, it's what Mike Tyson said. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. So it's like the Heat will punch you in the face. Like, people are sleeping on the Heat into this next matchup on the Nuggets. I am not going to be one of those people sleeping on them. They will come out aggressive, and they will make it tough on any team. Now, yes, the Nuggets are a favorite still, but they got the Celtics got punched in the mouth, and it took them. Then credit to them, they forced a game seven, but they just have a tendency of, if they're behind, they rely on a 3-point shot, and if it's not going, they're just doing iso ball. They're still shooting threes, and it's just a tornado of disaster. So there's a lot of standing around and isoing, and just no cohesiveness on a consistent basis, at least. And so I don't really know what they need to change, but thank God I am not a GM and had to figure that out. But hey, that's why they get paid really big bucks, to figure it out and make those adjustments necessary.
Fire the coach and start over, but I mean, that's kind of too late for that. But
they already paid him.
I don't know. He just made a lot of decisions that just were not, they were just not smart. And maybe it's just the lack of time being a head coach, whatever it is, like, figure it out or don't figure it out. But that team was fun to watch, but I think without both Jalen and Jason, I don't think that they'd be fun to watch. But that's agreed. All I'd have to say about it.
Agreed on that. Now, a team that is fun to watch. I used to say they were boring to watch, but they're pretty fun to watch, and interesting to watch. The Nuggets, man. I feel like I haven't seen them play in 2 weeks. They've been resting, just waiting for the Heat or the Celtics to come out. Let's get right to it. Who do you have winning the series against the Nuggets and Heat, and how many games?
So it's going to be disrespectful to go against Miami just because of what they've done so far.
Mm-hmm.
I just, that Denver team, this whole playoffs, just looked like a super team.
Yeah,
they really did. It is very hard to kind of bet against them. I do have the Nuggets winning, but I do think that it would go to like 6 games, 5 at least, but can't be finished in 6.
So you think Nuggets in 6, huh?
Nuggets in 6.
Okay. I am going to do the opposite of you on this one. I'm picking the Heat, and I know it's not a favored one, but I just have a lot of faith in Eric Spoelstra. And I've been doubting the Heat up to this point. I'm not about to do it again. I understand why anyone would pick the Nuggets. They're just so complete and dominant this whole entire ride. But there's some, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how they do it. Besides coaching, and obviously Jimmy Butler being great, and people on the Heat stepping up, providing great minutes, but the Heat just find a way, and they love the just being in the trenches with the team. And I don't know, man. They do not mind being the underdogs, and they excel in that. And so I'm gonna say Heat in 7. I think we might get another 7-game series here in a different way. It won't be, you know, a 3-0 start. I have the Heat stealing game 1. I think the Nuggets will start off slow, just shaking off the rust, being away for over a week, just resting and waiting. The Heat are just had a game 2 nights ago, so I think they're just in rhythm right now. And I think they'll steal game one. They tend to punch the other team in the mouth, usually the first game. I think Nuggets will win the second game. So they'll head back to Miami tied 1-1. But I'm going to go Heat in seven. I'm going to say that they're going to do something. They're gonna shock people, and they're going to have a playoff run that's probably debatably one of the most compelling, impressive ones. I mean, being the Bucks, then the Knicks, then the Celtics, and then the Nuggets. That's a great roster of teams you beat. So I think they may be able to pull it off.
And honestly, it's not a bad pick. And right now, like, their odds at +350, it's just like it'd be fun to dabble at. I think the only reason I choose Denver, and I think it's going to come down to fresh legs. You can only do so much. And I think that, like, the being a rhythm thing has such a good thing to do with it. I don't think that Denver is going to win game one. You look at their odds, it's a 9-point spread.
That's a big, yeah.
It's a big margin. We just, like, Miami just had 8 against Boston in game 7. In a game 7, and they blew them out by 20.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are we going to give them another point? It's hard not to take that, but, like, just their money line at +300 as well. Like, that's going to be fun to bet on.
Yeah, I think I'm putting all the chips on them on game one, to be honest with you. I just feel like that's how they'll set the tone. They like to set the tone.
That team's good. The storylines are good. I can't think of anybody on the Heat that, like, I can, you know, like, I don't really care for Harden or Embiid. Don't really care for Jokic right now, and it's just kind of like it's a Suns hatred. It's not even like a personal thing. But like, you think Jimmy Butler, I think he's like borderline one of my favorite players of this era just because of his personality.
Yeah, gritty guy. And, you know, kind of, he won't, you know, woo you or be an MVP candidate during the regular season, but once it's postseason, he really turned things up a notch.
I think he just knows when to care a little more, you know? And, like, I don't mean that in, like, he just skates by through the regular season because he has to get his team to the playoffs, but he's never been, I should take this back. I was going to say that he's not one to put himself in the spotlight, but then I was thinking about the Minnesota days.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that was different, though. These are different times.
But, like, he is just such a likable guy. And then, like, you look back at his story of, like, how he's just, like, he's a nobody. But, like, he made himself a household name that, like, Jimmy Buckets is now possibly going to be trademarked by him because that's who he is. And yeah, he's led this team to an incredible run. Eric is just an amazing coach.
Hall of Fame.
Dude, like, we've talked about it a little bit, but, like, I always forget about how long he's been there.
Long time.
Like, it's borderline, like, just his mind blowing. Just because, like, you think, like, he's basically been there our whole lives, and he's done so much, and he's still around, and he's still, like, he's in the finals again.
Yeah.
Like, this is just amazing for him. And consistency. Honestly, I don't really hate your pick about them winning in seven. Like, that's something that's very, very capable to happen.
It could. I mean, People better not sleep. People better not sleep. I mean, you can make the argument for either team that each run for the Nuggets and the Heat are one or the other is more impressive. One, you can make the argument the Nuggets, they're more impressive because they just been super dominant. Like you said earlier, they've looked like a super team. But on the flip side, the Heat, no one picked an 8 seed being the Heat to make it this far. People had the Celtics or the Bucks, potentially the 76ers coming out of the East, and you had these, you know, and the teams that they've got past. No one, I don't think anyone picked the Heat to get out of any of this series, maybe the Knicks series, but that was a 50-50 split. The Knicks looked really good the series before beating the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, man, I just feel good about the Heat for some reason. And I could be wrong, but I feel good about them. And it's not just because they just won the series and it's fresh in our minds. Like, I feel legit about them. But those Nuggets, though, I understand. I understand the Nuggets and six pick. I really do. They're real. And especially because now they have everybody, which I didn't have the last two seasons. So they're doing what they're supposed to.
Yeah. And I don't know. So let me ask you this, though. If you look down the line of like each team's that these guys beat, obviously. Do you think, like my question is like, you know how like the spread is like just so absurdly skewed.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think Vegas is just making it seem like we're just going to get a steamroll from Denver after just every single line that they've basically given Miami, they've beat.
Like, true.
How are we going to keep like disrespecting them like this? But like how, in a sense, like there you could be losing money, but like I feel like it's like very easy. Like whoever thought that Boston was going to beat Miami by 8 in Game 7, go get your brain checked. And go delete your betting apps. Like you don't need that anymore.
Yeah, to say that it was gonna be the freaking Miami Heat bought plane tickets before Game 7 to go to Denver. They were that confident that they're gonna come in there and handle business. I mean, yeah, no, it was gonna be a closer game. I thought going either way, not winning by 9 points or more. That's no. But you're right. I don't know why Las Vegas odds keep disrespecting the Heat to that extent, whereas like 8 points and things of that nature. I get it. The Nuggets have looked so dominant. I think it's just everyone's really basing off of how dominant and clear favorites that they are. Bam is going to have his hands full, to be honest, quite honest with Jokic. I don't know what the answer is going to be, but I'm sure they're going to figure something out. It's just one of those things where it's like they have everything. They have defense. They have offense. They have three-point shooting. They have playmaking. If Jokic is your second best player, Jamal Murray, and when he gets going, it's there's just no stopping it. Man, you have a really good bench. They have depth. That's why I value depth more than anything. If you have the depth and the defense, you will make a championship run every single year. You'll at least be in the running, or if not knocking on the door. And they finally have everyone healthy this year for the first time in a little while, and they're doing it. So I understand. But yeah, they're definitely underestimating the Heat. I'm not going to disrespect them and say plus 8 or 8-point spread that the Nuggets are going to overwhelm the Heat like that. Not in game 1, at least. There might be a game in there that they might blow them out, but you know that's how playoff series go. Sometimes it's up and down, but not game one. Not game one. No, no.
Yeah, not game one. I don't know. I think with how the whole playoffs have like panned out, I think we're in for a bigger treat than we initially thought than we were getting from Nuggets Heat. And it even started with like the first like media day with Jimmy talking about the incident from like 2021.
Yeah.
When like I think it was like one of the Morris brothers, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Respectfully, and those guys, they just get into a whole bunch of beef, so like that's just on them. But he said like it wasn't as deep as like it pound like everyone was making it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. If he's saying that now, maybe that's true. Maybe we've all just for the past 2 years have like just really wanted to paint the narrative that Jimmy Butler and Jokic hate each other so that in 2023 we can watch them both play in the NBA finals against each other and we have that storyline come up.
It's all ratings. They're trying to try and get something.
Like
they're reaching for straws for something two years ago.
Well, because then I kind of thought about it because like when everyone was like, yeah, this is going to be like a tale of the tape. Like we're going to be in for some scraps. I was just like, well, is the Morris brother even there anymore?
No.
Are we like in a regular season game that doesn't count?
No.
So why are we going to like have this like tail of the tape Royal Rumble pay-per-view thing in the NBA finals when like literally both of these teams are like both they're going to be physical. Don't get me wrong. But it's going to be basketball physical for the most part. Unless Jokic starts losing.
It's weird. They're definitely reaching for straws just to try and get some type of narrative around this. I think the biggest scenario of ratings would have been a Lakers-Celtics matchup, obviously, for obvious reasons. You know, the race to ring number 18, LeBron versus Jason Tatum. Now that it's the Nuggets Heat, yeah, they're going to bring up something from 2 seasons ago. And ever since 2 seasons ago, we have not seen them because they went up against each other during the regular season at least two times, but there's never been an issue since. It hasn't been another scuffle or another, you know, fight, nothing. So it's like, I can understand if there was obviously consistency of every time they met up, there was, you know, something, some type of drama happening, but that's not the case at all with these two teams. There's nothing between them. Not like how it is with the Grizzlies versus, let's say, the Warriors. Every time they match up, there's always something happening. I'm not going to call it a rivalry, but like there's beef, there's tension. And that's not the case here. But hey, something can happen and that could change it all. There, yeah. But yeah, nah, they're reaching.
Yeah, they definitely are reaching. And it's just like, it's going to be a good series, but it's not going to be a good series for that reason. And I think we should all hope for it to get to 7 just so that we get to watch more of this matchup.
Yeah, just as basketball fans, you want to see a good series, competitive one, and one where he's like, man, it can go either way. That's the best type of series, especially for the finals.
Can we talk about one thing real quick?
Go for it.
Just because we like touched on we talked about it. DMs. Are we really gonna let this Wemby kid be the number one pick?
You know how much talk it would be if the Spurs didn't pick him? Like, you know how much conversation it would be, like how much shock. That guy, I don't know if he was a GM or president or whatever, but the guy that was there to represent the Spurs when they obviously made the selection. You saw how excited he was? He wasn't that excited for that pick to pick Scoot or all these other guys. I mean, Scoot's going to be a heck of a player, but he was that excited for that Frenchman. That's exactly what it was. Now, do I think he's overhyped? Yes. Then again, I'm gonna be honest. I think he gets a lot of hype, but I don't know if he's really overhyped anymore. Like, I feel like Zion Williamson had we talked about this last episode. I feel like Zion Williamson had like constant media coverage and conversations around him and like just constant talks like every single day. Victor, I don't see it like as heavy. I just don't. But yeah, no, they're gonna definitely pick him number one. I'll ask you a better question. Not that your question was bad, but I'm gonna ask you a better question just to add the follow up because it made me think. And I saw someone actually, I don't know if I saw this online, I don't know which platform, but someone said, is there going to be a day that we're going to see a number one pick that's not 7 foot something? Like, is it possible to see a number one pick that's 6 foot three? 6 foot? 6 foot four? 6 foot five again? No. Like, are we going to see a player that's not close to 7 foot? Like, be a number one pick? Like, it seems like it's the obvious thing to get the guy that's 7 foot something and he can do all these things.
You had me now wanting to look up everyone's average height because it's just like, no.
I think the average height might be, well, for number one picks, I don't know, but for average height in the league, it's probably like around 6'5", 6'6". Probably 6'5".
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now, it is very crazy because, like, it made me really think. So I was like, wait, when's the last time that, like, we've seen, like, a guard go or anything of that sort? And I just was just like, damn, it's been a little bit. Well, I don't know. I don't believe in this kid anymore. No, I don't even think I believed in him once. Like, respectfully, he just doesn't have the build that would, like, ever want him on my team.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get this kid's name right because, like, he bodied him. Kenneth Lofton.
Yeah.
Undrafted. I believe Timberwolves.
It was either Timberwolves or it was the, man,
forgive us. I just know that he like always wore the Grinch Kobe's.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know why. I know, like, I just know him for that, but I do. But he bodied him in this like Instagram clip that we saw and like respectfully, like Victor was not playing any good defense whatsoever. It was just hands-up defense. He let him get underneath the hoop, which was smart because he had to make a different decision of where he was going to go. He got blocked, but Victor just kind of took it for a win. He let the ball drop, picked it back up, and then put it back in for a tough score. And again, I'm going to say this. He bodied him. He is a whole 4 inches shorter than him, maybe more. He's got meat on him. Don't get me wrong, but he used it.
Yeah, he definitely used his body to his strength. I mean, he moved Victor out the way, and Victor couldn't do anything about it. That's another thing, you know. You like, let's use Joel Embiid. Like, that's a big body in itself. Yes, he's taller, but Joel Embiid is a big boy. He's going to move him around like nothing. So, I don't know. not everyone is able to transform their bodies like how Giannis did. I mean, I'm sure you remember how he was when he entered the league. He was very skinny. And he then transformed his body, and now his body type is like, okay, well, he's less injury prone because he added muscle and everything. Will that in a way take away from his shooting ability? It might, because Giannis had a sweet jumper before he changed his body, and now his jumper is a little different and is inconsistent. And Victor has a sweet shot. He does. But yeah, I don't know. His defense is definitely going to be something where, yeah, he'll get blocks, but if someone's really posting him up, he has a tough time kind of holding his ground. Yeah. That's but he's going to be pick number one, Kyle. He's going to be pick number one.
I don't want to be pick number one. Like, I don't know. It's just going to be a waste of a pick. And it's just,
hey, whatever. We'll let the Spurs do it then and see what they make of it.
They're not even going to have it. Dude, okay. Actually, did you hear who's going to replace Greg?
Was this his last season?
Potentially. Okay. You see, like, I don't think so. But it might be.
I think he has one more season in him. One more. Just one.
I hope so. Like, let's give him a good farewell tour.
Something, yeah, definitely. But who's deemed to replace him?
Steve Kerr.
He would leave the... Dude, I mean, I guess he has ties with Spurs, yeah, but...
But, literally. Like, why would we leave the Warriors?
That would be weird. I'll admit that, because he's still got the core. I mean, potentially. I know the GM just left. I don't
think they'll have the core, but...
Like, well, the GM just left, for one, so...
Is it just a jump ship? Like, is that what we're doing?
I'd be surprised if Steve left. I mean, they are still threats. If you got Kate, if you still got Curry and a good team around, you're still a threat. So I'd be very surprised if Kerr decided to leave them to go to the Spurs. That wouldn't really make much sense to me.
It doesn't. Think of the offense that you have going on at Golden State, and then you take it to San Antonio, and then you add Victor to it.
And nothing's proven yet with that team. Like, nothing.
No.
Yeah.
You know, like, that, like, yeah. That, like, it was just, like, one of those rumors that, like, when I, like, read it, I was just like, really? Like, why? And, like, I don't remember if he, like, talked about it. I don't remember why it popped up. But I just remember reading the headline and then kind of just, like, thinking about, like, because, like, you, like, you're going to leave this dynasty team. And, like, respectfully, if Spoelstra can get this whole 20-some years here, why can't you get 10 or more, you know?
Mm.
Like, I know that we're coming up on, like, that, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, why are you not going to get this, like, long-term home here, and then you're just gonna be like, oh, I'm just gonna go coach these kids down in San Antonio where my best player is Victor something with a W.
Yeah.
You know, like like, it's just like, it doesn't make sense as to why he would do it, but like, it'd worry me if he took that.
Yeah, that rumor, I think, is just a rumor. Yeah, I don't see that happening. I think if the Spurs were not like a not a championship contender, but if they were, you know, just in the mix, and let's say the Warriors, yeah, Draymond's leaving. Obviously, Bob Myers, the GM, is already gone. They're trading maybe Jordan Poole. Like, there's a lot of reconstruction and maybe cap space needs to be available. Then I could probably see, like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to leave. You know, it's just time. Maybe, but I think they're going to try to run it back one more. And I don't know what Steve Kerr's contract ends, but...
I mean, like, you can have a contract today and you get fired tomorrow.
Yeah, in today's NBA, yeah, that's so true.
Even though you guys just won finals last year, you guys didn't show up during the playoffs, so bye, Steve Kerr.
Yeah, they ain't gonna fire him. If they fire Steve Kerr, really no one's job is safe for real.
I'd probably lose my job tomorrow, like straight up.
You just might if Steve Kerr lost his. There's no hope in the coaching business. Oh man. But yeah, I don't see that happening really. But I think Greg Pop will remain one more year. I think you gotta at least see this season through with this new player, you know, that you're about to draft and mold the current guys that you have and try to hand it off to whoever else is next for the job, not Steve Kerr. I think he gets one more year and everyone can kind of just show their respects.
Yeah, let's give him some love. Let's send him on his way. But I think that's all the basketball topics we got for this week, right?
Yeah. Game one tomorrow in the finals, Nuggets versus Heat, June 1st. So that's going to be a good one. But yeah, let's move on. I'm gonna let you choose on the next topic, man. What's you feeling?
All right, let's get the heartbreaker one out of the way. And, like, I only say that because, like, it's not even a heartbreaker because we knew it was going to happen. But we're in a very, very bad state as the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, we didn't trade D-Hop. The specific wording that stood out to me in my ESPN notification days ago was the Cardinals released them. So we debatably our largest asset besides Kyler. We didn't get anything back. We just released them. Now, I was telling you behind the scenes, what was that?
You paid them too.
True. So, like, I was telling you my thoughts just to make sense of this. You know, like, why would the Cardinals just release him without trying to get something back? Maybe, like, another wide receiver or just another area to buffer, you know, or draft picks. I mean, anything. Just let him walk. The same scenario happened with the Phoenix Suns. DA could have walked, but they were like, no, we're going to offer you to match that contract because you're an asset. Not to compare him and D-Hop, but like, you're an asset. We can get something for you. We're not just going to let you just walk and not get anything for you if you're not a Phoenix Sun. The Cardinals, in this case, my thought process was, I think D-Hop, he made it very clear after the season was over that he wanted to leave. So we expected this, not in this way. But my thought process, my theory is he made it very clear, if you trade me to a team, just anywhere, that I don't find to be a good fit or that I find to not be a playoff contender, because I think D-Hop is at his point in his career where he really wants to win that much more because time is dwindling. He would probably threaten to maybe retire for a season or something, and then just go where he wanted. I didn't read anything. That's not rumor. That is just something that I feel like potentially, that's the only thing I can make sense of them just releasing him. That's literally the only reason. Business wise, I don't understand why else you don't get something back. Because I know there's teams out there that will take D-Hop. There's got to be teams out there that would want him. That definitely could utilize them. So what sense do you make of this? Them just releasing him, like, anything that you can rationalize?
Besides not really, no. Like, I just think that, like, the front office just kind of gave up on it, and they were just like, we're just going to let you just do whatever you want to do. And maybe he does have an impact in that. Maybe he did say, if you guys don't trade me to the right team, we're going to have issues. And, you know, if I'm honest with you, you even go back to the original trade. We got him for David Johnson and, like, third-round pick and maybe a bag of balls. Like, they gave the least amount to get DeAndre Hopkins, but then they did it even one worse because now not only did you pay him before, like, he hit the field, but now that you release him, you still paid him $22.5 million.
You see, and that's what makes no sense.
You paid him $22.5 million to do nothing. To go, potentially go play for another team. He's going to kick the shit out of us. Like, respectfully, like, if you look up his stats, like, he was God on our team.
Oh yeah, now, he was very consistent when he was with us.
Now you're gonna let him? I've dabbled in. I would really like to see him go to Buffalo. I did see that Deshaun Watson would want to play with him, but I don't know why you would want to go play in Cleveland.
Yeah, the Browns. Nah. I think I was trying to see what teams I could, okay, what teams can I picture that player on, like, in that uniform with the helmet on? There wasn't too many teams that I could really sit down and picture, especially for the teams that obviously, you know, would be like a title contender. Man, I don't know where he's going to end up. Personally, the best guess that I can possibly give you is him maybe trying to find his way to the New York Jets with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe. I think they already have a good wide receiver core right now, but that could happen. Maybe Cincinnati with the Bengals or Joe Burrow.
Well, that's a dirty jersey.
The third option that I could see would potentially be the Baltimore Ravens to pair up with OBJ and Lamar Jackson. So those are the teams. I'm going to be quite honest. Although I named those teams that were probably likely the ones that he should probably aim for, I still can't, like, picture him in those uniforms still. Like, it's still hard for me to picture him in any uniform. I don't know why. Usually I'm able to for a player, but I just can't for any team right now for him.
I think the Bengals one's pretty fire. Like, jersey-wise, pretty fire. Would be great to play with Joe Burrow. I think that gives him a great opportunity to win a ring. I'm not too scared of the climate for him. Baltimore, I'm a little bit scared of the climate. And the fact that your quarterback is a runner.
Mm-hmm.
Jets, I don't hate because Aaron Rodgers and him would be a really, really good matchup. I think it's just another Devontae Adams-esque type player. Dude, I keep picturing him in a Bills uniform, and it's kind of sick. I ain't gonna lie. Bills.
Him and Diggs, I mean.
And Josh and, Allen, bro. Dude,
yeah.
It's gonna be a squad. That's a Super Bowl winning team.
Yeah, your offense, I mean, you got options.
The defense is amazing, too. So, like, I mean.
That's, hey.
If I'm Buffalo's GM, I'm calling every day. What you need? what do we need to do to make you comfortable here in the winter?
He's like, hey again, just calling back. I know we spoke 10 minutes ago.
Furnace.
Right. Hey, no, Buffalo, that could be another option right there. I could definitely see that. And it's a title contender. So playoff contender right there. So, hey, I mean, there's options. I think I'm from the sounds of it, though, he would just be leaving to a different conference. And majority of these would, I think all of them that I said were all AFC. I don't think I mentioned an NFC team at all.
I can't pick. I think that's true. And you know what? Because I don't think he really would fit on any NFC team. I think we're going to have a very AFC heavy league from here on out.
Yeah, I think so too.
But yeah, I know. I was trying to put him on any team. I just really can't do it.
Yeah, not this time around.
Not even the Cowboys.
I was trying to see if I could see him in the Eagles, but I can't really see that one. Not that it wouldn't be a good...
But yeah, you see, respectfully, because they have A.J. Brown, and then it's just Devon, not... I don't think they could afford him.
Yeah, I mean, if he's just released, yeah. He may have to take a small pay cut. If he wants to go to a contending team, he might have to take a pay cut of some sort.
I mean, he definitely will. I mean, he's getting paid $22.5 million by the Cardinals. So I mean, like, even if he signed a 1-year deal for a coffee machine, like he'd be fine.
You're still getting paid really well, regardless. You're just kind of adding on to it, if anything. Jeez, right. Man, yeah. We'll see. I mean, I would say San Francisco 49ers and NFC, but
no.
I don't really know what their quarterback situation is going to look like, because that's the whole reason why they lost.
I
still hope
it's Brock. It's also the fact that it's a bias that he went to school literally like right around my backyard, you know?
Right.
So there's that bias, but like also like I think the 49ers have a chance to make their team even better, and I think that might be the only team that I'd be really scared of in the NFC. It's just a health thing.
Not the Eagles? You wouldn't be
scared. Well, yeah, and the Eagles too. I mean, but like it's just, I don't know. I don't really like betting on the NFC East.
Yeah, I get you. They were the strongest last season, which was weird.
But they've been the weakest for how many?
Yeah, it's a brand new thing.
Just, we'll let it play out, and if the NFC East, it really is the future, we'll see it this year again. But that 49ers team still has a chance to be really, really good. It just depends. Yeah. It just depends who's our starter, but who's actually healthy. Because I don't think Brock should be, I don't really know how that shit goes with quarterbacks, because I know like with baseball, like it's usually like a year long thing to get over, but like it's usually pitchers and all you do is throw, so it like makes sense. But
yeah, I'm not too sure how long.
Yeah, so like I don't really know what the actual healing process is for quarterbacks, but let's just say it's a year. He's got to wait till playoffs, so you obviously got to go with somebody else. But if he's going to be ready for game one, is he actually going to be ready, or is he still going to not be able to throw past 5 yards?
I mean, I think they're still holding some hope for Trey Lance, who will be back sooner than him.
Kind of forgot what his film even looked like.
I mean, we haven't really seen a large sample size for him because he keeps getting injured, but
was it his ankle last time? He broke his ankle, right?
I couldn't tell you. It was definitely his leg.
I was like, I don't remember what happened.
It's definitely his leg. I can't remember the injury exactly, but they did trade Jimmy Garoppolo, so he's gone. So they're down to two quarterbacks. What about him?
He didn't pass his physical for the Raiders.
What? Yeah. So is he like a free agent, or did he not finish signing?
No, they have to go through like another physical process and whatever, but like for, I don't know, I don't really remember the reason. I just remember hearing it on Pat McAfee show. Like, he failed the physical, so like it became like a bigger deal, but like apparently they just have to go through another physical process. And
man, he can't do anything right,
bro. And I like, swear he can't do anything thing. Right. But like, and they were making a good point on their show. There's doctors that are involved in this thing, and he got paid a lot of fucking money to, or like potentially to, like not even, maybe not play. Like, obviously, he won't get all the money, but, like, whatever he got guaranteed, he's going to get.
Right.
Actually, I really don't know how that works.
With the contracts?
Well, because, yeah, because, like, realistically, if you were going to get a new job tomorrow, and they were like, oh, hey, yeah, you need to go do a drug test, you need to go do a lifting test and whatever, and, like, let's just say, for whatever reason, don't pass the lifting test. And they're like, yep, you failed. You're not getting anything. Thank you, bye. You know, they're not going to give you anything because you were never hired. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
The only difference is that he signed the contract. So, like, since I signed the contract, is this like, you damn, you owe me $22 million?
Unless there's something in the contract that says, if you don't, you know, but if there isn't anything, no stipulations that's in the contract itself, yeah, they're going to just make sure, hey, we're going to make sure you pass it so that way our money's not going to waste.
I need to go to law school, or I need a lawyer.
I need a lawyer.
I mean, like, That's one thing about contracts that, like, I've just, like, and it made me think, because, like, it's like, damn, does he really get the money, or is it, might as well try again.
It's just a small percentage. I mean, let's say, I don't know what his contract was, but let's say it was $50 million, just for example. He might just get guaranteed, what, 15, 20?
Or... so probably best won't be too half. Much, but it's like, it's still too much to pay him for nothing.
I think you could find someone way better than Jimmy G. I mean, he's just no, he's not the guy.
Yeah. I mean, but, I get that.
Yeah. I think Derek Carr is still available out there, right? I don't think he picked the team. Am I wrong? The Saints. Did he pick the Saints?
I think so, yeah.
How did I miss that?
I think it was like, it happened very early. It was just one of those things that, like, so yes, he did, because I remember them. It was like,
because they
beat the Raiders, and it was like a game where Derek Carr threw like 5 or 6 interceptions or something like that. Like, it was just really, really bad. And then it was like Saints fans, it was like, and they're making fun of him for throwing all these interceptions. And then it was fast forward 6 months later, and it's now he's your starting quarterback.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He's on the, maybe I probably did see this, getting a notification about it. And it's probably been a little while that I just forgot. But yeah, I mean, there's no Drew Brees, so, I mean, next man up. Wow, okay.
Man up for real.
Yeah. I mean, it was, what, Andy Dalton or something? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Derek Carr, he's no scrub, but he's not, you know, the Mahomes, Josh Allen's, and Jalen Hurts of the world, Aaron Rodgers, but he's no scrub. He's, you know, just in the middle of the pack, but... we'll see what he's able to do in New Orleans. But, okay, yeah. No more D-Hop, though. No more D-Hop. He's gone, and we'll see where he ends up landing. What team?
So one thing that I did this past weekend was I watched the Super Regionals for the Women College World Series. And honestly, and it's something that I'm usually very excited for every single year is this tournament. It was a very, very crazy weekend all over.
Some big wins, some surprising ones, any upsets?
A lot of them, and like honestly, and like it's a lot of the big storylines, of course, came from the number one ranked school, Oklahoma. OU, them Sooner girls, every single year just find themselves to be the best team ever. They, over the weekend, they played their last games at their field, which was really, really cool. They obviously won every single game that they played in. They broke their record for 48 straight wins. And just again show that they are just the queens of softball. They not only won on their last game on that field, but they also won on the head coach Patty Gasso's birthday. So, like, it was definitely a very emotional weekend for everybody there. And this is a Sooner household. So, everybody was in tune with it. I was sadly at work, so I missed most of it, but the game that they won, it was just a very, very clutch home run at the very end. And then a very, very great defensive grab of their first baseman. She literally, like, there was she was going towards the opposing team's dugout, and there was like an opening. There was two girls right there. She literally bodied both of them, caught the ball, and fell into the dugout. Like, it was an amazing, amazing play. I hope that made it on SportsCenter's top 10.
Hopefully. Yeah, that deserves it. She put her body on the line.
Definitely did. And, like, not to take away from any of the other Super Regionals, because, like, there was definitely a lot of great games. But, like, definitely we stay tuned in to OU softball here. So, like, it's very, very easy for me to follow with them. And obviously follow them. I'm not going to ride with any other team. They're just the best girls out there.
SEC, right?
Big 12. Soon to be SEC, though, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably just premature talking, because usually, you know, everyone seems to be moving to SEC.
Yeah, because I don't know if that's just a football move or if that's like a whole school move. But, like, I would love to see these girls play against the SEC.
Yeah, because SEC typically has the competitive schools just for most of the sports, you know? Yeah. So I know for NCAA men's, SEC is, and for college baseball, SEC is definitely favored.
Usually pretty good. LSU, yeah. Texas A&M, they're all, you know, well, I think A&M's Big 12 too, but
Thomas's brother is a trainer over at Texas A&M.
Really?
Yeah, he used to be with U of A, but he got a job offer with Texas A&M last season. So he's with them now. And so, yeah, he's with them. And he got an offer from LSU, but he ended up sticking with Texas A&M.
Good for him. Congrats to him. Yeah. That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah. So good stuff. Yeah, trainer, I think like a physical, not a physical therapist, but something on the lines of, yeah, just keeping them good, you know, physically, you know, making sure they're good and tip top shape, all that stuff. I forgot the specific occupational name. So hope I'm not butchering it, but, yeah, no,
he's with Texas. I want to say it's that, but like, I feel like there's a trainer word. And so like, it's kind of like, like athletic trainer, but like I don't want to say it's that.
It's along those lines, pretty much. Yeah.
Sorry for messing up your job title, buddy, but big shout out to you.
Big shout out, man. Big shout out. But yeah, no, Oklahoma Sooners, you know, they're doing their thing. I mean, that winning streak is crazy in itself. So yeah, we'll see what they end up doing.
It's a very crazy win streak to like think about, because it's just like they're playing Division I softball. So it's like, it's not like they're playing a bunch of scrubs all the time. And it's not like everybody just comes down and like bows down to them. They just know how to hit the ball. Their pitchers are very dominant. I don't see why they don't run away with this tournament, but like it seems like every single year that there's always one team that likes to give them a run for their money. But last year they handled business, so I kind of expect Patty to get her girls to bring home another championship.
Back to back, two times.
I mean, back to back. I can't even remember, bro. They won a lot. It might be back to back if they win this next one.
Okay, they might form a little dynasty.
They definitely are a dynasty now, though. They've been a dynasty for a little while. Patty's been there for 29 years. I'll tell you the like weird story behind their softball. So their field used to be home to their beer league, like the town's beer league.
And they would
literally lose their playing time to those beer leagues.
Damn.
And come for full circle. It is like the focal point of their town, the whole state. And like, it's like a whole... Like, it's kind of weird because it's like it's as big as the Warriors, but like in like the softball world, like it's really crazy. But now they're gonna get a new stadium because like that's how much they've grown this program
expansion,
and like that is just amazing. Like their new stadium's gonna see about 1.4 million people.
1.4.
Like fucking crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
You got me scratching my head, wondering how much cheating is in like a D-backs like Chase Field.
Definitely not that much. And like I'm like, it says capacity 1.4 million. And like I don't really know what that means, but
dude, that's
okay. That's okay. Multiple fields, I think. No.
Okay, that would make more sense.
I don't know. It says softball stadium, but then it like
1.4 million. You know.
Okay.
You know how loud that would.
Okay. No. Okay. It's 1,400. Oh my god.
Okay, that makes a little more sense.
Bro, don't believe Wikipedia because that shit says 1.4 million people.
Heck no, bro.
I was like, bro, what the fuck? That's
crazy. Like, what kind of stadium is this? Like, you know, that's a big stadium. Like, a stadium for like,
I was like, in a
50,000 to 70,000 people. Like, a stadium that big for like, let's say 70,000, that's already super big. 1.4 million. A big. Oh, nah.
It says, we'll see. 3,000.
There's probably no concessions sold. They didn't have the room.
You guys are here for softball. That's actually how Japan leagues are. But like, yeah.
They don't have concessions?
No, dude, like it's like they do have concessions, but like it's like they have less concessions. It's mostly about the game, so like they have more seating so that they can get more people because essentially they're engaged to watching the game, and there's actually some people that work and save their money so that they can spend the next 3 months watching Japan baseball.
Hmm.
Like a whole season. They'll follow the favorite team.
Okay. And diehard.
Yeah. No, that, like, I don't, like, I've dived into, and, like, I don't really want to get into it, but, like, Trevor Bauer's YouTube channel. Yep. He's an ex Cy Young winner. I brought him up a couple times, but, like, we'll get into his stuff another day. But learning about Japan baseball through his YouTube channel has probably been the best part about him signing a contract to play over there. He stinks. Man.
Oh.
Respectfully, bro. He is like,
I did not expect
that. He is in the minor leagues of the Japan League.
Ooh. Yeah, he's not doing so hot.
His YouTube titles have been wild, bro. So, like, it was like, when he signed with Japan, it was really because he's kind of been blackballed from the MLB. So his YouTube title was Why I Chose to Play in Japan. And then this time it was Why I Chose to Play in Japan Minor Leagues.
It keeps changing.
Like, I saw somebody else and it was like Why I Chose Unemployment. I was like, bro, y'all are fucking too much. But, like, it was definitely a, like, funny thing. But, like, I definitely have, like, learned a little bit more about Japan baseball, and I appreciate Japan baseball a little bit more, even though I've already been an advocate for Japan baseball.
Right. Yeah. Ooh, that's funny. And they're talented over there.
They definitely are talented. They're very, very talented. I do think that on Friday, though, we are going to see a lot of talent on the field between these two teams. Agreed. The D-backs and the Braves both have, like, sneaky talent, on, especially coming from the D-backs. We talked about it. They're sneaky good. I've watched more D-backs games this week than I've watched Braves games. And they have been just really sneaky good.
I don't know what got into them. I don't know what changed. I didn't even pay attention during the offseason if they made any trades or what draft picks they got. I heard that they got one stud, one guy, a young one. I don't know his name, but all I know is, although I don't know what the heck they did, what changed, all I know is that typically for the D-backs, they may start off the first 10, 15 games looking pretty decent. But to go 55-ish games in now and be, what, in third place, roughly, in but top of their conference, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, or their division, I mean, that's insane. I have not seen that in forever. The last time I can even fathom them being doing this well at this time was when they last won their World Series in the early 2000s. I think like 2000, 2001. So, and at that time, I don't know if I told you this, but I grew up with a friend in grade school whose dad was on the Diamondbacks when they won the championship. It was my friend's name was Brock Bell. His dad's name was something Bell. I think it was like J Bell, something like that.
Sounds about right. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And so he was really cool, really nice. I mean, the family was great. I think actually Brock Bell, he actually got signed by the Red Sox. I don't know if he's still on that team, but he got signed. But anyways, that's just a little pointer, so shout out to him. But the Diamondbacks, man, I couldn't tell you last time they've done this well, this deep into it. So they've been the team that's been the most surprising team for me. I know some people might say potentially... Tampa Bay, They're the clear favorites right now, but
Tampa's been on. Yeah,
I gotta tip my hat. No bias. Just genuine, just from recency of just realizing how bad they've been and pitiful. Those Diamondbacks, man, who would have thought?
I know. Shout out to them boys, bro. Like they really know how to play some ball. And like I said, I've watched them a little bit more this week, and it's not like they win on accident. I've watched them come back down 3 or 4 runs, and they'll make their run and make their comebacks. I think they have like the highest comeback wins this season.
Which is
really cool stat. That's also kind of weird because you're playing from behind, but like it's awesome that you guys can make back. Like in baseball, that's pretty easy, but easy's relative. It's easier because I feel like you can have a big inning at any point.
Yeah, that's fair.
The Rays, very surprising to me just because of like they're a good team. Here's my issue with them though. Their record looks really good until you look at their away record.
Mm-hmm.
They're about 300. They're about 500. They're 14-12. So a little concerning that you're about 500 on the road, but we can get over it because in the playoffs, if you're the number one seed, you're obviously going to be playing more home games. So
true.
Not too worried about it, but them having their hot start is very surprising to me just because of I did not think that they were that team at the beginning of the year. I didn't really have them winning their division, but it's very hard to bet against them, especially because of their very substantial lead. I can't even say substantial. Never mind. It's only 4 games, but it's against Baltimore.
I can't even say substantial.
I can't, but like it's Baltimore. Like it's very hard for me to like be like, oh yeah, Baltimore's going to make a big push and win the East. But like realistically, they probably could. I just don't know if I'm really bought in on that. You look at everybody's standings right now. I really think the biggest surprise besides the Rays would have to be the D-backs. That's because they're half a game back from the Dodgers. And yeah, they're on another 4-game win streak, which I think like in the past 3 weeks, they've been on like 2 5-plus game win streaks. Like they'll lose a game and then they'll come back and win 4 or 5 more. Like it's just like they just don't go away. That team could easily turn around and win the division. They can really work themselves into finding a first round bye. Like,
pretty easily, too, if you think about it.
The NL has always been like that. Especially when you have teams that, like, hit weird declines and lose to, like, the worst team in the MLB. But the D-backs have like really just shown that they are the team to actually fear. And I'm glad that we get to witness it firsthand on a Friday night.
Me too. I'm expecting a good game, a competitive one. And obviously the Braves are trending in the wrong direction while the D-backs are trending in the right direction. But hey, things can change in any given night, you know, who's going to bring it. So I think it'll be a close game. If I had to guess the score, I'm going to guess maybe like 5-4 D-backs. So and that's what it will be.
Definitely going to take my Bravos here. I will definitely ride their money line the whole night. I definitely do think that a spread will probably be the safer bet that night. But definitely hitting the overs on the runs. Looking at their projected pitchers, we have Charlie Morton and Merrill Kelly, which they both have above 3 ERAs. Charlie's 5-5, Merrill's 6-3. Not really too... I'm not worried about watching a pitcher's battle. I'll just say that. We'll definitely have some hitting. So, definitely going to take that over.
I'd take the over on that. Yeah, I think it'll definitely be some high-octane entertainment.
Oh, yeah. And, like, definitely follow us on our Instagram. I definitely will be doing some parlays throughout the day. Probably even some, like, live betting. I saw someone do a live first at-bat walk. I don't think I do a walk, but I think I would do probably a hit, depending on who's our leadoff hitter. But I definitely think I'm going to throw out some different little bets like that throughout the whole night. So definitely give us follow on our Instagram, just so that you guys can get those as well. Maybe we can all ride and hit some, make something out of a big night.
Yeah. Most definitely. Definitely follow us. You guys have been running it up lately, so we appreciate the love and support, TikTok included. So definitely just building up this community and pumping out these episodes. So like we had mentioned earlier, like I mentioned earlier, we got a segment here. It's called Quick Takes. So we're just going to end off the episode with these here. For this one, it's all NBA, but we'll switch it up each time. With multiple different sports, or it might just be a completely different sport, all one sport. So this one's all NBA, but let's get into it. Quick take. So we'll try to keep it real short. Thumbs up or thumbs down on how we feel about the move that was made. So first move was Monty Williams. Obviously got fired from the Suns, Matt Ishbia. But he just got picked up today by the Pistons. 6-year deal, $78.5 million. Is that a W or an L of a move for him to take that job, head coaching job, with the Pistons? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I definitely give it a thumbs down. Partially, I give it a thumbs up to Monty. He got his long-term deal. He's got his security. He's got what he needs. I think it's an L as far as, like, I don't know why, what he's bought in for in Detroit for the next 7 years. I know that the team has an option for the years, like, I think it's 7 and 8, or there's 2 extra years, and it can be worth up to $100 million. So I don't know really what they're bought in with him as well either. As we've said, like, we've literally watched so many coaches lose their jobs just this past season or two. Why?
This year alone.
Yeah, like, why are we, like, buying in like that? Who's there that he's interested in, that he's going to be there long term? Overall, just, it is a big L. I don't know what's really going on in Detroit. I know that at one point there was a rumor that he got offered substantial amount of money from Detroit, but he turned it down.
Okay. So they've been eyeing him.
Right. So, like, it's like, okay, what was the substantial amount of money? What did you turn down that, like, now that we worked out a $78.5 million deal?
I don't know, but he for sure got paid. I'll say this, you know, like he said, he got his money. So, you know, congrats to him. But I'm going to give a thumbs down as well. I really don't think, I'm not a fan of the 6-year commitment with this one. I don't know what they said or their plans for the future that they're trying to build. They have a very young team. Cade Cunningham, K, Cade Cunningham. That's all they really got. I mean, I don't really know what they're planning. Yeah, I don't know
about who Cade Cunningham was. it took me a second to like, because I was like, actually, and I because he was the number one pick 2 years ago, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. So, or was he number two? He might have been number two.
Number two in my book. I don't even remember who was the number one pick in the 2020 draft.
But all I could tell you though is, I'm gonna say it was an L move. I feel like he could have been picked up by the likes of the Bucks. You know, just a different title contender team. Some other team. I mean, you go from the Suns being, you know, in the mix to then the Pistons, who are not going to be in the mix. Is it a W for the franchise in a sense? Because yes, you have a better coach in there. Yeah, but I mean, you can only do so much as a good coach. Yeah, that's the only W. You mean you don't got the players to
make it
be that much better. So now, we got news a few days earlier that Nick Nurse is going to the 76ers. So obviously Doc Rivers got fired. Nick Nurse from the Raptors formerly is now going to 76ers. Is this a thumbs up? Is this a thumbs down? Did the 76ers get better with this, acquiring Nick Nurse? Like, what do you make of this?
So I'm trying to think of if, and this is probably the only upside that like I've seen so far. So I heard a rumor that Fred VanVleet has now landed on the 76ers radar to land him this summer. I think he brings in a couple players that like him as a coach. He's not a bad coach. I think he overworks his guys. I think that would probably be the only downfall of him. But respectfully, Joel and James are already used to playing every single minute. So it's not like it's anything new. They just kind of have a mind that's like, yeah, you guys are going to do that, but you're going to do it my way. So maybe they do get a little better. I think it just really depends if, I guess we don't really have Harden anymore, right? I think that's kind of like a done deal that like he's already set in stone to go to Houston.
Which makes no sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to me either, but I mean, like, why did the... what was his name? Ime...
Udoka?
Yeah, like, why did he go to Houston? Like, besides just needing a job.
I mean, yeah.
Strip clubs?
Good question. It's a good question. I mean, might as well be. I know it's not an option, but I'm gonna kind of give it like the horizontal thumb, not up or down, just horizontal midway. I don't think, yes, they got a new voice and a new vision and, you know, new head coach in there just to hopefully change things up, have a different chemistry vibe in the locker room and in the huddle. From Doc Rivers, that obviously just wasn't working to get over that hump. But I think Nick Nurse is a good coach, but I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to set them over the top. You know, it's not that it's not the type of move where I'm just like, oh man, okay, yeah, next year, yeah, they might be the team to beat now. You know, it didn't switch the pendulum or the momentum or the gears that heavily. But hey, let me be wrong, and Nick Nurse ends up doing a little bit more than what Doc Rivers could do. The last one is GM Bob Myers decides to step down as the Warriors GM. You know, Hall of Fame resume, given what he's been able to do with the Warriors dynasty and franchise as the GM during that time. The last 10 years now has been that they've been obviously involved in the playoffs quite a bit, and the finals a lot, winning four of them. Do you think with Bob Myers stepping down that, you know, is a thumbs up or down for the Warriors franchise post, you know, moving forward? Like, do you think they're still going to be all right? Or do you think, hey, this is the tipping point of things kind of falling apart now with this dynasty? So do you think it's a thumbs up for them in the future still, or a thumbs down, things are falling apart now moving forward?
Without reading too much into it, I'm going to give, I want to give it a thumbs down as a franchise. Just because, like, I don't know what this really says to the franchise of, like, the guy that really set you guys up is now leaving as well. It's almost like the dynasty really is ending. And his reason, it's time. W to him that he is very confident in that fact that he can just walk away from it. Right. But yeah. L for the franchise, just because now your team chemistry might break a little. I feel like that's what would happen in my GM if you just decided to like walk away. Yeah. But now you bring in a new guy, and now it's like, okay. Now it's just like, who are they going to hire? And what's going to be the direction of the team?
That's true.
Because then, like, now we're kind of getting back to the narrative of, like, Steve Kerr going to San Antonio. And it's kind of like, well, for breaking up the band.
I don't think they should do it just yet. I think, I'll say this. He's a very good GM. It's not easy finding good GMs just anywhere. But there are assistant GMs as well. So credit to those. They don't get credit, really. Not to take anything from Bob Myers. I think he's done, obviously, a wonderful job. You know, roster construction. But I think it'll still be a thumbs up. I think the Warriors will still be a team that will still be competitive, still be in the mix, still be a title threat with the pieces around Steph Curry and Klay. Whoever they put in place for the next GM position, I'm sure they're going to be a very solid GM. Maybe not to the same point as Bob Myers. Maybe they will. But they're definitely, I think it's going to be solid. So they'll keep things afloat. So for the next few years. So I think still a thumbs up for the Warriors. I think they'll still, be relevant in the mix. Obviously until Steph Curry is done.
I really don't have a, like, rebuttal that, like you just, like, you really hit all the good points of it. I think, like I said, I'm happy that he can, like, take it upon himself to say, I'm done. Now, as long as there's nothing fishy going on, as long as it's just literally him just walking away from the game and he's just going to do whatever he wants to do, to live his retired life. Looks like a family guy. I like I said, I didn't really read into who he is or like what he does. Maybe it's just time to have your family time, and everyone deserves that. It's a big shout out to him. But yeah, it is definitely going to be very, very interesting to see what this Warriors team is going to look like come fall.
Yeah, they got some decisions to make, so they better get a GM in there quick. But I think they'll be fine, especially if they are able to keep the core somehow. You can't count them out, naturally. But if they don't have the core, then I guess you kind of have to see what they do from there, you know. But I think it'll be interesting. But thumbs up still for the Warriors. I think I'm not going to count them out just yet. Not just yet.
Understood. Not unless I just really want to see who stays and who doesn't stay. Especially with Jordan Poole, Draymond. Like, the way that Draymond just talks on his podcast, you just think that he's done. So it's just not. It's just given that he's not a Warrior anymore. And like, I don't know if that's true. Yeah. I think that's just me being like, not hateful, but like just kind of being like, listening to him talk and like what he says about certain situations. I'm like, you just probably should keep your mouth shut because they're like, you're probably losing some money out of this, but you're also probably losing some respect too.
Yeah, he says some things that the writing was on the wall, I think, during the season.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, and then as if he was expecting it to happen, but then once the Warriors lost, he ended up making these comments as if, like, yeah, we're running it back next year. I'm just like, wait, what? Right. So I don't really know. I know Steve Kerr mentioned, obviously, you know, without Dre, we're not a title contender. That's how much he brings to the team. Because he is the rock of the team, the voice of the team. But I don't know. I think with what happened with him and Jordan Poole and, you know, I don't know what their cap space looks like. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I think they'll prioritize trying to keep them, but the writing might be on the wall. But we'll see what happens with the new GM or if the owner, Mark Lacob, if I pronounced that right, what he's feeling within that organization. So we'll see. But that's our quick takes. That's a little segment right there. Something different. Hope you guys like that one right there. Kind of hitting a few topics that don't have to be long-winded, but obviously we get to hit them and try to give our opinions on them with recent news. In this case, a lot of it with head coaching jobs. So definitely a good one. A lot of changes and probably more to come soon.
Yeah, we're still waiting on a Suns head coach. I know that like the search is kind of now narrowed down, but don't really like the fact that Doc Rivers is still floating around. It's definitely something to keep an eye on, but I'm more bought into baseball right now because I don't really want to think about Doc Rivers as the Phoenix Suns coach.
If they end up getting Doc Rivers, I'm not even going to reach out to you about it. I know you're going to be livid.
Might become like a... I don't even know who I'd support. I ain't gonna lie to you.
You said I'm going to switch alliances.
This will become a Lakers pod.
Oh man. Yeah, no, I don't. Cause them acquiring Dark Rivers wouldn't make sense because the last two seasons we have done terrible on closeout games. Why would we bring in a coach that is notorious for not being able to close out games?
Team coach would just be haunted.
It just wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense.
Not at all.
I think they get someone new. It doesn't have to be like a known person, just someone new that's like assistant coach or something.
Yeah, no, I do think that we go with Kevin Young, and I think that would just be the safer bet. Let's take the gamble on that, not Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I like that.
At least he's an experience, and we can blame it on that.
Yeah, Kevin Young a chance, and then during the offseason, we'll try to just buffer our bench, more depth. Yeah, I like that. Well, we'll see what happens, man. For now, got game one tomorrow. We got the Oklahoma Sooners on the women's college baseball doing their thing with their run. We'll see who's the coaching job. We'll see how the D-backs and Braves this Friday, June 2nd, will go and how the rest of the season will shape up as we're nearing almost halfway into the regular season. Where D-Hop may end up being on whichever team. We're assuming the AFC. So we're definitely going to have those news for you guys and our takes on all things moving forward for the next few weeks, obviously. Each episode, so definitely check us out weekly for those updates and news that's popping up in the sports world.
Yeah, and follow us on our social, guys. Usually a lot more interactive throughout the week with different topics than Follow us on our Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Everyone's been doing great, man. Last week was a kick-ass viewership-wise. Mm-hmm. Probably our most watched video, or not video, but most listened to episode on an opening week. And that's just amazing. Shout out to you guys. You guys are the best. We very, very appreciate you guys for listening into us.
Much love. Yeah. Keep showing the love. We're going to keep pumping these out and giving you guys content, things to talk about. So definitely continue on. We notice it and we appreciate it. So we'll keep doing our thing.
Yeah. You guys happen to be at the Braves game on Friday, hit us up. I didn't see that it's like Batman night or something like that. So I'm kind of interested to see who pops out as the Dark Knight. But with that being said, guys, thank you guys for tuning in for another episode. We will see you guys next week.
See ya. Peace.